The scripture reading comes today from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. Maybe someone who was at the sunrise service can recite that from memory. We've already been through it once, but let's hear it again. Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus' dead body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were saying to each other, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" They looked up. They saw that the stone had been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in white robe seated on the right side. They were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He isn't here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples, especially Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. And you will see him there, just as he told you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Maybe they had been up all night, not a wink of sleep, disturbed by the echo of the sound of that hammer that nailed the Lord to the cross, the memory of the taunting crowd. Sleep may have escaped them, as had their hope. They had hoped he was the Messiah. They had hoped he would bring the long-awaited promised peace and the kingdom of God. But their hope had died with him and now was lying in a stone-cold tomb. Maybe they'd sat up all through the night trying to hush the cries of their hearts with stories. Stories of things they remembered about the life they had shared with him. Stories of the lessons they had heard him teach. Stories of the miraculous ways he had healed them or those they loved. Stories of compassion and forgiveness that he offered so freely to one and all. Like so many minds and hearts ringing empty from loss, they might have been trying to fill the void with stories, refusing to allow the script of loss to take away the memories. Memories, stories, was all they had left for connection. Maybe they sat through the Sabbath together, waiting together as Jesus would have wanted them to, waiting for the coming light of day when they could make their way to finish what had been left undone. In the rush to lay his body in the tomb after the Sabbath, his body had not received the proper anointing. Wanting to offer their last act of devotion and kindness, wanting to, in whatever way possible, be with Jesus again, they sat together, awake, waiting for daylight, when they would do the only thing they could do. And they could grieve with their hands as well as with their hearts. With dawn's first light, off they went. As they approached the garden where Jesus had been buried, they were confronted again by reality. What about the stone? A very large stone had been placed in the door of the tomb. They knew what they wanted to do, what they needed to do, but the reality was there was a stone in their way. Just as reality began to reemerge, it happened. Well, it had already happened. The stone had already been rolled away. Seeing the stone rolled away in and of itself had to be a surprise. But the first thought might have been that they would now have the opportunity to do what they came to do, anoint the body of the Lord. They most likely remained focused on what they had come to do, rather than what God had already done. It would take a minute to see all of the opportunity that would be afforded them with the opening of the door of the tomb. Entering through the door of the tomb, the women found not the dead body of the Lord, but rather an angel. An angel who looked at them as they stood there, holding in their hands all of the goods necessary for anointing. And they said, "I know why you're here. You've come to find comfort in your sorrow. You have come wanting to somehow bury your despair and broken hope. You have come seeking to continue your connection with your Lord, to show your continued devotion. And because the door of the tomb is open, you will have opportunity to do what you have come to do. Not by anointing the dead body of Jesus, but by knowing the abiding presence of a living Christ. He's on the way to Galilee. Go there, and you'll have the opportunity to see him. Because the door of the tomb is open. He is risen." Herein is the message of Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. But notice the preface of that first Easter message there in the open tomb. The first thing the angel said to the women was, "I know why you're here. You're looking for Jesus." This Easter morning, here in this sanctuary, my message to you is this. I know why you're here. I know why we're all here. We're here to sing hallelujahs. We're here to smell the flowers and shout, "Christ is risen. He is risen indeed." We're here looking for hope. We're here to stand among those who have hope. By now, we have long since given up the expectation that we would hear an explanation of how Jesus was resurrected. Matt Fitzgerald is right. He says, "If people came to church to hear reason, Easter would not be the most popular Sunday of the year because there's nothing sensible about the resurrection. Easter ought to leave us scratching our heads. We're not able to define or even describe the resurrection. The empty tomb doesn't fit into our understanding. The first thing we ought to admit on Easter is that God is incomprehensible, and on Easter, God has done the incomprehensible. If you're here looking for explanations, you'll be disappointed. But that's not why you're here. Not really. You might think that you're here out of expectations you hold for yourself. You'd hate yourself if you weren't in church on Easter. You might think you're here out of loyalty to your family. They expect you to be in church on Easter. You might think you're here out of habit. It's Easter. Where else would we be? But deep down, you know why you're here. You're here looking for hope. You're here to be with resurrection people because they have the kind of hope that you're looking for. You're here because you're struggling to hold on to what you think you might have lost, maybe even your faith. You're here because you find yourself alone all too often. You're here because you're looking for a presence and a power that opens up opportunities to you that seem to be blocked by stones, very large ones. I know why you're here. I know why we're all here. We're here looking for hope. And the good news of the gospel is that we have come to the right place. It's interesting to know that that Greek word in the Gospel of Mark that is used for the opening of the tomb in which the stone had been placed is the word door. That Greek word has a unique meaning. It also means an opportunity, as in the door of opportunity. That's a strange word for a door, an entrance, an opening for a tomb, don't you think? Opportunity. Indeed, that first Christmas morning, because the stone had been rolled away, it provided opportunity for the women to do what they had come to do, and to do it in ways that they had never imagined. Because the stone had been rolled away, they would have the opportunity to find hope and comfort amid their sorrow, to express their devotion to their Lord, to maintain a connection with Him. Because the stone had been rolled away, they were in the right place, even though the Lord wasn't there. Because the stone had been rolled away, because He had been raised, because He went before them, the women could and would know His presence. It would not be limited to a tomb. Because the stone had already been rolled away, opportunity and hope opened up wide before them. I know why you're here. You're here to hear a truth that you won't hear anywhere else. Easter gives us the opportunity to encounter a faith that proclaims a God who cannot be contained, confined, or even described. A God whose victory over the grave could redefine our lives. We all know the limited options that exist outside of faith, and we are here hoping to catch a glimpse of that which pulses just beyond the border of everyday experience and existence. Our souls have grown discontent and restless, and we're hungry for a God who is beyond explanation, a God who offers hope when all hope is gone. We share the Easter message today. He is risen. He is risen indeed. It is a message of great joy. But the preface of that joy remains the same. I know why you're here. Sure, we're here to smell the lilies and to sing our hallelujahs. We're here to step into the sunlight and the joy of Easter. But if we are to find Easter's fullest joy, a joy that emerges from the empty tomb where there are no lilies, a joy that emerges even through hopelessness, we need to know the resurrection is not a single event, but a loosening of God's power and light that continues to alter all things, infusing them with the grace and power of God's own holiness. It is though a door has opened, and what poured out will never be stopped, and that door can never be closed. We're all here looking for hope. We're here to stand among a people of hope. And we've come to the right place, because the stone has already been rolled away from the door of Christ's tomb. Every tomb is open. Because the stone has already been rolled away from Christ's tomb, new life, new opportunity is open and can never be closed. Because the stone has already been rolled away, hope goes before us, and we shall see it just as Christ told us. Amen.